Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather as your people and to hear from your word, Lord, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that this lesson on prayer would be helpful for each of us. Lord, we all struggle in prayer, as was already mentioned. And Lord, we thank you for the wonderful promises that we find in your word regarding prayer and regarding our communion with you. Lord, make these things to be real tonight. Make them to be helpful so that we might be a people of prayer. We might be a church of prayer. And we pray all these things that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, my goal tonight is simple. My goal is to give you a new or renewed perspective on prayer. And so to do this, I want us to open to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. It's page 1079 if you are borrowing a Bible. John 15. And we're going to look at just one verse primarily. The verse is verse 7. John 15, verse 7. Jesus is speaking here and he says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Here's the question I want to address tonight. Is there a relationship between abiding and asking in this passage?
Yes.
Yeah, there is. I believe the relationship is this. I'm going to put it like this. This is the main point that I want to communicate tonight. Prayer is both a way we abide in Christ, and prayer is a fruit of abiding. Okay, let me say that again. Prayer is both a way you and I abide in Christ, and it is a fruit of abiding. Prayer is a fruit of abiding. Okay, so prayer equals the way and the fruit of abiding. You got that. That's the idea. So let's kind of unpack that. And let's start with the second half of this verse. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, we can't miss here the point that Jesus is trying to impress upon us. And if we could somehow boil all of Jesus' instructions on prayer into one word, it would be the word ask. Ask. Jesus is fundamentally teaching that we ask because prayer is essentially asking things from God. That's what prayer is. It's asking things from our Lord. And deeply embedded in this idea of asking is to ask continually, to ask repeatedly. We don't just ask once, one time, but we do it repeatedly. And I get this idea from the context here of this passage. The concepts, if you read through John 15, the concepts of abiding and bearing fruit here in this passage are they're more than a one-time action. We're abiding continually. We are bearing fruit continually. It's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. It's a repeated thing. So Jesus wants us to see here that prayer is essentially to continually ask of God for things. And really, this idea of continually asking is the entire teaching of the New Testament. Just listen to a sample of verses from the New Testament on this idea of continually asking. I want to impress this upon us. It's not a one-time thing, but it's a continual thing. Romans chapter 1, 9 and 10. Without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers. Romans 12, verse 12. Be constant in prayer. Ephesians 1, 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Colossians 1, 9. We have not ceased to pray for you. Colossians 4, 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. We also thank God constantly for this. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. As we pray most earnestly night and day. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray without ceasing. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11. We always pray for you. 2 Timothy 1, 3. I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. You get the point. The point is clear. To continually ask. These passages, including John, it's talking about our prayer life. A life of prayer, a life of continually asking and going to God. So with that in mind, this idea of continually asking God for things, Jesus is saying here in verse 7, look again at verse 7. So I understand that the if we ask, that is, continually ask, whatever we wish, it will be done for us. But what do we do with this first clause? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Well, let's look at the if you abide in me, that first part of this verse. Now, I think you would admit that abiding in Christ is a good thing. It's a good thing to abide in Christ. After all, the previous verse, we didn't read it, but let's read it now. Look at verse 6. Jesus says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and he dries up. And we certainly don't want that to happen. We want to abide in Christ. So how do we abide in Christ? How do we do it? Well, this passage gives us a clue as to how we abide in Christ. We abide in Christ by obeying His commandments. We obey His commandments. We follow Him. Look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So we keep His commandments, and by doing that, we are abiding. That's how we abide. We abide by keeping His commandments. Now, let me ask you a question. What is one of the commandments that the Lord has given us? We've already spoken about it. It's to continually ask. It's to pray. The Lord has commanded us to pray. And so, by praying, by fulfilling that commandment, we are abiding in Christ. So, that's from this text. That's what I said our main point is, or at least part of the main point. Prayer is the way we abide. Are you following me? Prayer is the way we abide. Because we abide by keeping God's commandments, and one of His commandments is prayer. Okay, that's the logic behind what Jesus is saying here. Now, if we take a step back from this text and look at prayer from a theological standpoint, it is true in one sense that if you are a Christian, you are abiding in the sense of being in union with Christ. Pastor Jeff talked about this on Sunday. That is, if you are a Christian, you are intimately connected, united to Jesus. You are a branch connected to the vine. You are in a relationship with Him. That's what we like to say. We have a relationship with Jesus. So, in one sense, you are already positionally abiding as a Christian. You're connected to Him. You're positionally abiding. Yet in another sense, there is an ongoing relational abiding. If the former we call union with Christ, the latter, the ongoing, we call communion with Christ. Because we are in union with Christ, we can therefore commune with Him. We can do communion. And so, how do we commune with Christ? What's one way we commune with Christ? The way we commune with Christ is by prayer. It's by praying to Him. It's by continually asking whatever we wish. So here's the point. Abiding in Christ is not elusive. It's not mysterious. It doesn't require great extra spirituality or big faith or a super robust theological knowledge. At least one of the chief ways we abide in Christ is to by continually asking things from God. We go to Him in prayer, and as we go to Him in prayer, we are abiding in Christ. We abide by prayer. Asking is abiding. Living a life of prayer is a life of abiding in Christ. One of the best ways to abide is to ask. Prayer is a way we abide. Okay? But there's something more to this verse. And it is this. Look at verse 7 again. This verse gives us another way we abide. How do we abide? Well, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So how do you abide in Christ? You abide in Christ when his words abide in you. When the words of Christ are abiding in you, that's another way you abide. And as a result of having Christ's words abide in you, you can, the second half of the verse, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Why? Why can you ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you? We can ask whatever we wish and it will be done for us. Why? Because when you are abiding in Christ, the fruit will be prayers that are in tune with God. Your prayers are going to be what God wants. They're going to be prayers that he's going to delight to answer because they're what he wants when you're abiding in him. So it's not the whatever here is not whatever in the sense of, you know what, I'm going to ask for $1 million, whatever. And then I'm going to get that. No, that's not it. Your requests, as you're abiding in Christ, will be in tune with what God wants for you because you're abiding. You're abiding in him. In other words, as I stated in the beginning, in this big idea that I want to communicate tonight, prayer is a way you abide in Christ, and prayer is a fruit of abiding. Prayer is a way you abide, and it is a fruit of abiding. You are going to be praying, and those prayers are going to be the whatevers that God will do for you when you're abiding in him. So here's my takeaway tonight. Here's what I want us to take away. Prayer is such a struggle. Don't despise your prayers. Don't despise or look down on a prayer life. Don't consider your prayers to be meaningless and pointless. So often we stop praying or we slip in our prayer life because we look around and we see, well, this isn't happening. It's not working. But what I want to say from this passage is fight for prayers, for morning prayers, for evening prayers. Whenever you pray, fight for them. Keep praying. Keep asking. Live a life of prayer. Why? For prayer is both a way you abide in Christ and is a fruit of abiding. So don't give up on prayer. It's how we abide, and it's a fruit of our abiding in Christ. I hope that encourages you in your prayer life. I hope it gives you a new, or for most of us, a renewed perspective on what is actually happening when we go on our knees, literally or metaphorically, in prayer. Whether it's the Lord, please help me, that we shout out at random times of the day, or it's the time alone you have with the Lord, whenever that may be. I hope this helps.